Timothy Leary lives. No, 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 he's outside looking in. Timothy Leary lives. No, 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 he's outside.
Produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon, this is Free Culture Radio. I'm Doug McVeigh. Free Culture Radio is an examination of drugs, drug cultures, and the ineluctable, indelible, and indispensable influence of drugs on society. Free Culture Radio neither promotes the use of any drugs nor condemns people for being involved in drugs. To the extent that drug use presents problems for individuals or society, those problems are made worse and more intractable when people who use drugs are treated as others and ignored, stigmatized, and even brutalized. On this edition of Free Culture Radio, we talk about two of my favorite things, food and drugs. Before any ado can possibly be furthered, let me introduce my guest, Ngayo Bilom. Ngayo Bilom is a journalist, a political activist, a comedian, his day job is comedian, and the star, dare I say it, a star of a new show on Netflix called Cooking on High. Ngayo, how the heck you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How are you, Doug? Good to hear your voice again.
Oh, man, it's good to hear you. It's good to hear you. I'm doing well. So this new show you've got, Cooking on High. It's a weed cooking show.
It's almost like Topless Cannabis.
Okay, so you're the connoisseur of the
I'm the connoisseur. I'm the maître de ganja, the weed master. I introduce the strain that the chefs will be using that day, and I talk about the effects and the flavor and the taste, and then I sit in with the judges and the cooks and we discuss food and marijuana, which are two of my favorite things.
And so you have a couple of competing chefs. Is it a progressive competition? Are people eliminated through the thing? Is it just like a cook-off? How does it work?
It's like a cook-off. It's a 15-minute episode, so they're not very long. So we don't have time. Like Chops is an hour long, so those guys can do three or four different dishes. We don't have very long, so we introduce a theme. Maybe it's Mexican food or fast food or munchies or whatnot. Breakfast, bacon. And then we introduce the strain that they're going to use, and then the chefs start cooking. And we talk and joke and have a good time and then eat food and decide a winner.
Okay, so the judges, where do these folks come from? What kind of judges do you got?
They come from a variety of different spots. We have a bunch of comedians. We have a few rappers and musicians. It's mostly musicians, mostly rappers and comedians. So Ramon Rivas is on the show. He's hilarious. Warm Brew, a hip-hop group out of Los Angeles. Mod Sun, white boy rapper. You heard me. White boy rapper out of L.A. is on the show. Holly Pasternak is also on the show. She's very funny as well. Just a bunch of different people. A variety of folks. Great.
And the chefs, where do these folks come from? Where are you getting your chefs from?
They come from all over. Chef Mike has been a mainstay on Cannabis Planet, which is a show I used to be on for years and years and years. Andrea Drummer lives in Los Angeles, and she does cannabis-infused dinner parties, and she's a great, great chef. Brandon Coates went to the Cordon Bleu, and he's an L.A. chef. They mostly come from the L.A. area because that's where we shot it. But these guys, they're all fantastic. Some of them have even been on Chopped and other TV shows, and they're all great chefs, and the cooking is very top-notch.
Very cool. I've seen a couple of episodes. Informative. You're going into some of the bits about cannabis and explaining to folks CBD versus THC. Tell me more about your role.
Like I said, so I'm like the weed professor. So they introduce the theme, and then I show up with the marijuana, and I'll say something like, "This is an amnesia haze, full body sativa. It'll give you the buzzy effect. It's not known for the couch lock. Look for notes of pinene, maybe with a hint of lemon in it," and then we talk about it like that.
Very cool. Can't forget the host.
Josh Ava.
That's
hilarious.
Him.
And Bob, you ever seen that guy with his shirt off? Oh my god. He's a YouTube sensation. He does a lot of sketches and things on YouTube. They got him for the show. He's excellent. Big fan.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, folks haven't seen it yet. It's Cooking on High. It's on Netflix, and it's funny, and it's very cool. And it's not as much food porn as some of the cooking shows. You're not going to see quite as much of the you talk more about that one ingredient than the rest, but that's there's plenty of food porn out there. This is a different variety.
You know. In a lot of ways, it's just like a kickback with good cooking. I mean, it's definitely a competition. Like, people want to win, and everybody cooks hard, but it's not the crazy high-pressure countdown clock. You know, we're all kind of stoned and laid back, so we're all going to get it done, but we're not really going to stress out about it. But the cats do go very hard. It's a really good time, very funny, very informative, especially if you don't know anything about weed. If you know a little bit about weed, you still try to create a good form of edutainment, I guess, would be the way to put it.
Very cool. Well, congratulations again. It's a great show. I'm glad to see you doing it.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. Please, everybody, watch the show. Watch the episodes all the way through because it helps the algorithm. We're trying to get a second season.
Terrific. Now, while I've got you, California.
Yep.
Is
California
is your home, and July 1st, everybody was supposed to have their shelves cleared of untested. Basically, everybody had to clear their shelves on July 1st. What the heck is going on? What's going on down there?
Well, they're trying to make sure that every shop has tested marijuana, right? Because you don't want anyone smoking marijuana that hasn't been tested, besides the fact that people have been smoking untested marijuana for decades in California. I mean, one of the reasons the California marijuana industry boomed so much in the 70s was the DEA was spraying paraquat on the fields in Mexico and other places, and so California growers didn't want to smoke chemically laced weed. So they started growing more weed up in Humboldt County and all around the state. But that's the deal. There's new packaging regulations is one of the things, right? So we can't really do it deli style anymore where you have the big jar of marijuana and you get to smell it and then they pull out a couple nugs for your aunt and your grandma or whatnot. So everything has to be prepackaged and everything has to be tested. And so they didn't want anyone selling any untested marijuana. It's kind of ridiculous. And so anyone who has any untested marijuana left after July 1st has to destroy it. I say that in quotes because we all know the best way to destroy marijuana is to place it in your portable incendiary pot eradicator, commonly referred to as a pipe, and burn it. Maybe small bits at a time, but that's probably the best way to do it. And so all the clubs have been scrambling to get their stock back up. Right, because as you can imagine, all the labs have a backlog because everyone is trying to get their marijuana on the shelves, and there's not enough labs to deal with all the marijuana that they're trying to get, or cannabis that they're trying to get into the stores. And so it's been a little bit of a bottleneck, not quite a cluster, but definitely a bottleneck and a slowing. I mean, half of me is really upset. It's ridiculous. I think that the BCC has kind of gone out of their way to make everything as difficult as possible. It's almost like they're trying to recreate prohibition through overregulation, or perhaps making it so that only people with vast amounts of time and money can follow these new strict rules correctly. And half of me is also like, listen, you guys, we're all spoiled now, right? You go to a place and they only have 8 different kinds of weed, and you get upset like, those guys only had 8 different kinds of pot. Hey, man, and I'm sure you know, Doug, when we were younger and the weed man came over, there were 2 different kinds of weed. There was take it and there was leave it. And that's all you had. So, I mean, the stores still have marijuana. They still have things. Maybe not the bounty that they had before. But if you were paying attention, everybody had fire sales, man. The clearance sales were crazy. The weed was flying off the shelves prior to July 1st because everybody was trying to sell off their last inventory before they had to destroy it. So, I mean, there's a yin and a yang, but I think the BCC could be doing a better job. I mean, we don't want to end up like Washington State or Colorado, for crying out loud, or California.
Well, and in addition to the law itself set up that weird the distributor thing. So there's some they created a middleman. You have to sell your product through this person who collects the taxes, and they have to sell it to the shops and collect those taxes. And it's like why itself drives me mad.
People have been putting marijuana in their car and driving it to the clubs for 20 years. There's really no reason to change that, except that they're trying to create, if you own a liquor distributorship, you've got to have a license for money. That's kind of the same thing. If you own a marijuana distributorship, you're in a pretty good position if you can manage to do it right. It's just one of those, everyone gets so worried about tracking and tracing and cannabis being lost or diverted because marijuana is still illegal in Nebraska, and it's still illegal in Idaho, and it's not quite as illegal as it was in Oklahoma. Way to go, Oklahoma, by the way, for passing a really good medical marijuana law and putting pressure on their local government to create recreational marijuana laws. If Oklahoma can get recreational weed, then damn near anybody can get recreational weed. That's just crazy. I say time and time again, it's cannabis, right? It's weed. It's pot. It's not yellow cake uranium. There's no reason for everybody to be so ridiculous and so up in arms and so over the top in creating these regulations. They're really just forcing some of the smaller growers out, and it's not fair and it's not cool.
You are listening to Free Culture Radio. I'm Doug McVeigh, and my guest is Ngayo Bealum. Ngayo is a comedian, a journalist, and the star of a new show on Netflix called Cooking on High. We'll get back to that interview in just a moment. Here's some of Ngayo's stand-up, performed at the Seattle Hemp Fest in 2015.
See, I can smoke weed and come out and tell jokes I practice that, but hash makes me rambly like an old hippie. You know what I mean? You ever hang out? Well, those cats digress, right? It gets tangential. You know what I mean? You ask him how to make a pie, he'll tell you how to grow a tree. Right? Oh, you want my apple pie recipe, man? That's great. That's fantastic. We've been friends long enough. I think you're ready. The first ingredient is love. Listen, I know it sounds corny, man, but people don't say it enough, and everybody acts like it doesn't matter. If you don't start with love, it's never going to taste right. So write the down first. You start with love, and then it's 2 cups of apples. I recommend a cross or a mix of the Fuji and the Pink Lady. The Fuji comes from Japan, which is interesting. It's one of the older variations. It started in Kazakhstan, which is the birthplace of all apples. I was in Kazakhstan one time after college because I followed the Silk Road on my vision quest, and it was there in this little hut that I met this cat. I think he was like a Uyghur or a Uyghur or whatever, but he had this hash. It was all brown and crumbly and delicious and kind of spicy. It smelled like cinnamon. It's 2 teaspoons of cinnamon. You mix that. It just went on and on for days and days and days. Let's talk about crust, brother. Follow me. I want to show you these seeds I got from my friend Running Bear. I met him at a rainbow gathering in Wyoming in 1982, and we stayed up all night. We did psilocybin and mescaline, and we hybridized these gluten-free seeds, but they keep a flaky crust because the government's the food supply. Now look, what are your intentions with this pot? Is this a pie of wooing or a pie of, it affects the nutmeg. It took a week and a half, and it took me 5 years to actually make that pie. But it was the best pie I'd ever had in my life because I was finally ready for it. Right? My tree had grown.
So marijuana is legal in Nevada now, right? And I heard a story about this guy who won a lot of money, won like $100,000. The stoner came up to him and said, "Hey man, I know you won $100,000. I normally wouldn't ask this, but my girlfriend is very sick. I need $10,000 so she can have an operation." And the gambler says, "Well, how do I know if I give you this $10,000, you're not just gonna go buy some marijuana?" And the stoner goes, "Man, I have weed money."
Oh, look at all these older people. We're all getting old, right? Some of us have been here. Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing. This is what I noticed. Weed keeps you cute. Old stoners are way cuter than old drunks. Right? You know what I'm talking about? That's what I'm saying. Everybody's like, "Oh, cute. Grandpa's hitting the bong again." Right? As opposed to grandpa's hitting your mom again. That's a completely different. That's why I like weed. See if I can figure out where it's from with my connoisseur palate. You guys don't do connoisseur? You don't sit around with your fancy pants? Give some tasting notes? It's from New Jersey, right? Toledo? Was it?
No,
Toledo window box. That's the old George Carlin.
Somebody from Bellingham gave that.
Somebody from Bellingham. This is the old Elephant Castle weed. It's the Bellisphere bud.
That was some stand-up from my guest and Guy O'Belam. Now let's get back to our interview. Okay, it's true that medical marijuana laws, medical marijuana legalization meant that people became more accustomed to it, saw it was not as much a problem, and that made people more willing to think about legalizing. That's absolutely the case. Wasn't like it was some kind of great strategy. It's just human nature. People learned more about weed, and as soon as they did, they understood that it wasn't that big of a deal and it didn't need to be prohibited. Right. You know, but it's the sort of madness that you get to this point where they the patients really do exist and people really do have a need. And when you've got a population the size of California's, you've got how many cases of cancer, how many people living with severe chronic pain, and we're trying to get, you know, we're trying to get them off of opiates and other dangerous pharmaceuticals, and yet, and with all this cannabis that had to be destroyed. I mean, I'm glad that they found, that they managed to sell off a lot, because that's just, I mean, it was just madness. The same, I mean, they could have bought it a month, the week before. Oh, eBay.
Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, and an interesting thing too, you bring up the medical marijuana thing. There are still medical marijuana farmers markets that go all over the state. They're really way gray market. I mean, it's not recreational. It's definitely for medical patients. You have to have a letter from your doctor to get into one of these things. But those guys, man, the prices there are crazy. You can get an ounce for $50. You can get an ounce for $100, $60. You can get grams for $5. You can get pre-rolls for $1 each. And so the regulation of the clubs is cool, I guess. But I feel like they're going overboard and they're not doing what they really want to do, which they said they would do, which is give small growers a chance to enter the market with a head start and also make it easier for some of these smaller growers. Well, that's, I'm repeating myself in that thing. And take care of the medical marijuana patients as well. So it's a really interesting time. And we'll see what happens. Like, it hasn't even been a whole year yet. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, exactly. It's a process. That's the whole point. It's we've made the change in law now, and they've pushed back, and so we need to push back again.
Really quickly, like Gordon Dalton out in Portland always says, battles never stay won, and you see that all over. Even in the large scale, you think about Roe v. Wade, which should have been settled law, was that 30 years ago, 40 years ago now, and people are still trying to fight it. The whole sort of thing, you think when you go for these progressive causes, you win the battle, you're like, finally, we can move on to something else. And no, you have to keep fighting these same things over and over again, and it's just frustrating.
Well, and sadly, it's one of the things that people miss. I mean, yes, we beat the prohibitionists, but that doesn't mean that the prohibitionists who work within the state apparatus, doesn't mean that they've changed their minds. It doesn't mean that they've changed anything, and you know, they'll obstruct, they'll block. They might go along for a while, but they'll do their best when the time comes. You know, they'll try to stop history. You know.
Yeah, it's so funny. You think that? What are you going to do? Price of living in America, I guess. First world problem.
There you go. One of the things that's been going on, you're in California, and one of the things that happened on social media recently was the Permit Patty. A woman named Allison Attell from Treat Well, founder and CEO of a marijuana edibles company and doing some kind of a pet thing down there. And she managed to lose her position and lose a lot of credibility and lose, yeah. Well, we can hope she loses more. Calling the cops on someone selling water to people who are going to a baseball game is madness, and it's stupid in itself. Excuse me, is stupid in itself. The whole thing, I mean, it just, words fail. Tell the listeners what happened.
So this woman, Allison Attell, was apparently a young black girl was selling water to people going to the baseball game, people enjoying Pride Weekend in San Francisco as well. And Miss Edel took exception to it and had an argument with the girl's mother and then tried to call the cops on the girl for selling bottles of water without a permit. Never mind the fact that people were selling bottles of water without a permit on the side of the road for games and events in California and America for years and years and years. Never mind the fact that she is in an industry, and especially her niche, where she sells marijuana to dogs. There are no regulations for selling marijuana for your pets. You know, I'm pretty sure it's still against the law, although they're trying to pass a law in California that would allow vets to prescribe marijuana for pets. There's no law for that. So the hypocrisy of calling the cops for someone being an outlaw when you, in fact, are yourself an outlaw is one of the things. And the second thing, calling the cops on black people for just existing and just for doing normal, everyday, quotidian things, selling water on the side of the road, trying to have a lawnmower service. Up in Oregon, you guys just had someone call the cops on a council member who was walking door to door in her district prior to this upcoming election, and someone called the cops on her because she was a black woman walking around the neighborhood, knocking on doors.
State Representative Janelle Bynum. Excuse me, State Representative Janelle Bynum, and she's in a district that's just one or two over, adjacent to the one in which I live. Not this one, but it's the next one up to the north. That's right in this county. It was an outrage. It's absolutely madness. Absolutely, you're right.
Yeah. So, and now Ms. Edel is claiming that she's getting, she's received death threats and whatnot, but. I really honestly feel like she started with a death threat by calling the cops on a black child. That can be construed as a death threat. You never know how the cops are going to react to any situation when black people are involved. And so you can't do that. And so she rightly lost her job. And I hope she can learn from it and become a better person. There's no time for this. There's no space for this. And I know a lot of people are feeling emboldened by the election of this president. But I got to tell you right now, we're not standing for it.
It was one of the things, too, that occurred. I know people from the industry still, and she had been reaching out and putting out a version of what happened that was just lie upon lie upon lie. It was a white family. It wasn't true. Oh, I wasn't really calling 911. Whoops. They released the tape of the phone call. It was lie upon lie upon lie, and so blatantly so. I hope that the other one, that other bit about the reaction she's gotten, I hope that she's lying about the reaction that she's gotten, because that would be horrible if she was receiving that kind of threat. I doubt it. I mean, I'm sorry. She's at this point, she's got no credibility. I hope she's got a tape, or she could release copies, because
it's hard stuff. I agree.
So I got one last. Did I have one last question? I think I do.
Yeah, one last question.
Oh, hold on. Oh, well, yeah. We talked about you mentioned Oklahoma, and I wanted to really quick because they did pass a tremendous law there. Actually, more of a throwback to California, the Prop 215, because it's a very broad physicians get to decide. What do you think about Oklahoma passing a broad medical marijuana law?
I think it's a great idea. I think it proves that weed is still winning. We're going to overthrow the government at the old school, as you say. And one of the things I really like about the Oklahoma law, I believe my understanding of it is that they don't allow cities and counties to impose their own bans. So once it's legal, medical marijuana is legal in Oklahoma, cities and counties have to go along with it no matter what. And I think that's an important thing, because one of the problems we're having down here in California, sure, weed is legal and you can have a farm, but if your county says you can't have a farm, then you can't have a farm. So if you live in Fresno and you've been growing for 10 or 15 years and weed is legal now, Fresno says you still can't grow, so you're still an outlaw. You're still a criminal. You can't move to Humboldt County. You live in Fresno. You know, you can't move to San Francisco, to Berkeley, to Oakland. You live in Fresno. And so I think that is such an important thing and such a big move on Oklahoma's part, such a great move on Oklahoma's part to create space and let people know that there's nothing wrong with it. And I think it's great. Way to go, Oklahoma. I'm going to go visit Oklahoma as soon as I can, because I think it's
kind of
cool. I just want to pay my respects.
So what other stuff do you have on your radar? What kind of things are happening? I know you're going to be at Hempfest coming up on August 17th, 18th, and 19th, of course, up in Seattle.
Yeah.
What else you got going?
I'll be there. I will be at the International Cannabis Business Conference in Portland, September 28th and 29th. I got various comedy shows up and down California this month and next. I will be in Nashville at the end of July at Zany's in Nashville with my good friend Brian Passain. That will be a fun and Sony time. And just all various other stuff. Find me on the social media, MGAIO420. And that will you'll be able to keep in touch on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook and all those other good things. And watch my show on Netflix, Cooking on High.
Very cool. Again, we've been speaking with Ngaio Bilom. He is a comedian, a journalist, an activist, and a brilliant, brilliant guy. And I'm proud to call him a friend. When you get up to Portland, we're going to go out and have at least a beer, or possibly a coffee, or possibly both.
At least a beer and a coffee, and some weed. We'll just do the Holy Trinity of soft drugs.
That works for me.
The triumvirate. That's my new favorite word. You got it, man. Be great. All right. Thanks a lot, Doug. I'll talk to you soon, man.
Thank you. Cheers.
All right. Take care. Bye.
That was my interview with comedian and journalist Ngaio Bilom. And that's it. You have been listening to Free Culture Radio. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Many thanks to my guest, Ngaio Bilom. A big thank you to our engineer. And thanks especially to you, dear listener, for your support. You make it all worth it. Free Culture Radio has a webpage at kboo.fm/freeculture. Free Culture Radio also has a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/kboofreeculturradio. Please give it a like. You'll find links there to past shows, announcements about upcoming programs and events, and other stuff like news items that may be of interest. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Doug McVeigh. We'll be back in a month to continue our examination of drugs, drug cultures, and the influence of drugs on society. Thanks again for listening. This is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long!